Well, good Saturday afternoon. I'm recording this on Saturday, March 27th, and I'm checking in from Southern Illinois, where my window wheat tour looks excellent right now. It's amazing what some of the late showers have done for the wheat in this area. Seems that a lot of greening up with the warm weather and some showers this week, not overly excessive rains. The wheat crop's starting to look very, very good. And I said to my wife as we were driving, I said, if you have a chance to hedge $6 wheat right now, it looks like a pretty good opportunity. And I think we've probably got that in most areas. You follow that up with some double crop beans, and we could be looking at a pretty good revenue stream here this year in this part of the country. Of course, we got a long way to go before crops get made, but nonetheless, if your wheat's looking that good, even though the markets have come down a little bit, there's a reason they've come down over the last couple of weeks, and that's because the crop looking pretty good at this juncture. This coming Wednesday is a huge report day. It's when we get the prospective plantings report along with the March 1 grain stocks reports from USDA. And in a normal year, we're probably looking at the stocks report more so than the acreage, because in a normal year where we've had ample stocks, we're looking to see what the demand was over the winter. We're looking to see what the disappearance was, what feeding of corn took place, feeding of wheat took place, what the soybean crush was, whether it was higher or lower than what the NOPA numbers have told us throughout the winter. So that's usually what we look at. And those numbers are going to be important this year as well, because of stocks being relatively tight. And so if some of those numbers were, you know, guessed wrong as we've come into this thing, or if we've, you know, if we've been off a little bit on our estimates, then certainly those could have an impact on the balance sheet. But I think this year, more so than in quite a few years, we're really looking at the acreage and what is USDA projecting for acres this year. And again, more so than normal, because stocks are going to be so tight on some of these crops at the end of the year and or next year, that we're really looking to see what USDA's numbers are. Keep in mind that these estimates are based on surveys that were taken back the first couple of weeks of March. So these can change, and historically they will change. Weather will have an impact as we go through the planting season. We've seen years where we've got a wide open early planting season where we tend to plant more corn than what's estimated in the March report. If we have some weather issues, certainly we've had a couple of those years lately, then bean acres tend to be a little bit higher. So those will have an impact. If we're dry, really dry, in areas like in Texas right now, maybe we'll plant a little less cotton. Maybe we'll plant a little more sorghum. So those things can have an impact and will change between now and the June numbers. But nonetheless, these are going to be very, very important. And if you checked out my market report on Friday, I put in examples on page 2 of balance sheets of what it would look like given the Reuters estimates. Reuters came out on Friday with their average based on about 30 different analyst estimates. And so you've got some pretty wide ranges from some of these analysts on what they're projecting. Some are projecting corn acres up close to 95 million this year, citing big open field work last fall and a lot of guys that had gotten ground ready to plant the corn this year. Others think that the price relationship between corn and soybeans is going to have an impact, a bigger impact, and that we'll plant more soybeans this spring. So, you know, a lot of different opinions at this point, and of course, none of them are going to be right or wrong until we actually get to the field. But the Reuters survey average on corn was 93.2 million acres, and that's up about 2.5 million from last year. And if we have a trend yield, we could have a crop well over 15 billion bushels of corn this coming year with those acres. And I don't think we'll get to that point on demand in the year ahead. I think demand is going to pick up a little bit for the feed demand side. I think the ethanol sector is going to pick back up, especially with fuel prices going up. I think the ethanol numbers should go back and approach something like the 2018-19 numbers when we peaked out about 6.7 billion bushels, 6.8 billion of feed and residual usage. About 5.4 of that was ethanol. I think we could approach that number in the year ahead if we have the corn to do it. The export number is, I think, the toss of the coin right now. Will China be as aggressive buying corn as they were this past year? Now, this past year, a lot of reasons given that they bought so much corn. Some of it due to the, you know, people citing that the quality of the corn crop in China has been low, even though they've got plenty of stocks. It's a lot of junk, and so they're buying good corn to blend it off with. I've seen comments, you know, they're concerned about the relationship between the U.S. and China going forward, and they want to get stockpiled ahead of some possible problems. So whatever the case is, I don't know if we can get back to the level we did this year. We'll see. This year was near record forecasted, about $2.6 billion. That's what I plugged in my balance sheet. And with those numbers, I still come up with a carryout of about 1.7 billion bushels next year, which is up 200 million. Again, it takes a really good yield to get to that point. So if we have a good yield in the year ahead, then I would foresee that stocks should grow this year. If yield struggles at all, then we could see prices at or above current levels that we're seeing this year. So to me, that's the key going into this year. Assuming acres are going to be up 2 to 3 million, I think that's a fairly safe assumption for this year, barring a weather issue. Then it really boils down to yield, and yield will dictate where price goes. I've seen a couple of comments that we could, and a couple of weather folks that's, you know, saying we could see some weather-type rallies this summer, and I wouldn't rule that out at all. Given how tight stocks are as we come into the year, that if you have a weather scare, certainly it would mean markets should add some risk premium. So don't rule that out. Be ready to take advantage of it if we get it. Now, the negative side of that would be that the funds right now are holding the largest long position in corn since, I think, February of 2011, even prior to 2012. And I'll have that chart in my report on Monday. So funds have already maybe added some of that risk premium into the corn market. And so how much more is left? And you know, is there more fund money? What could make this market run? I guess those are the big questions I've got going forward. And so I favor defending prices in corn. I you know, we can make some money at these levels. Go ahead and make some sales, cover them with a call option. I don't think I'd make a sale without buying a call, but there's great minimum price opportunities right now. You can hedge corn. Where were we Friday night? Let me scan down on my page. We were at 466 on December corn. I could go out to the December $6 call, which is still my favorite. Maybe I spend 12, 13, 14 cents. I could still have a floor futures price above $4.50. With upside potential on out into the summer months, or excuse me, all the way out into fall, in fact. So I like the idea of the minimum price contract this year. In normal years, I wouldn't have spent 12, 13, 14, 15 cents on a call. The last few years, you didn't have it to spend. You were below profitability. But if I can put a floor at 450, keep some upside open in the market, I like that strategy here for the 2021 marketing year. Soybeans. Looking at the average trade guess, Reuters had it right at 90 million acres of beans, which I think is the bare bones minimum this year. I think we have to figure out how we're going to get at least 90 million acres of beans planted. And I don't know that the market has necessarily given us that indication. I think in some areas it does. It just depends on the you know, the fertility of the land, how good the land is. What the corn bean production ratio is in areas where we can raise 200 bushel corn versus 60 bushel beans. I think it still favors corn. In areas where you're raising 170 corn versus 55 bushel beans, then I think the beans kind of win in that scenario. So that is going to be the big question mark, and I think USDA will answer some of that in its report on Wednesday. But assuming we planted 90 million acres, like Reuters says, with a trend yield, I put in 51 bushels in my balance sheet. That would give us, along with 120 million bushel carryover, would give us stocks of shy of 4.7 billion bushels. And I think demand will exceed 4.5 billion this coming year. Thus, ending stocks would still remain somewhere below 200 million. In my balance sheet, I had 149 million bushels, which is bare bones tight again. So I don't think there should be a whole lot of downside risk in the bean market, unless China just for some reason quits buying beans, or if we see a swine fever outbreak. There's been a few stories lately about some of the swine fever showing up at some cases. So China continues to say that it, you know, it has those cases isolated under some control, but nonetheless, we'll see. But I think that's the big question mark here going into this year. But if bean demand stays where it's at, it's going to be hard to break this bean market sharply into the year ahead. So I don't mind hedging beans. I think that there's some good profitable opportunities. So you do want to take advantage of those. But again, kind of like corn, I favor using a minimum price sale. Go out and buy a $15 or a $16 bean November call just in case this market has more upside to it. If it doesn't, then great. I've got a great sale locked in. If it does, then I've at least got myself protected on the upside as well. So I think the minimum price contracts are a win-win on the beans as well. Funds, as of Friday's report, were long 152,000 contracts of soybeans. That is down from the record long they had last fall, but it's still a significant long position. So they do have that built up ahead of this report on Wednesday. The wheat market, you know, quietly, U.S. numbers should continue to work lower on the balance sheet. The one I showed on Friday used the Reuters acreage number at 45 million acres, which would give us production of around 1.85 billion with a 50 bushel national yield. I think demand is going to exceed that. So likely take stocks down to maybe 716 million bushels or so. So that would be the tightest we've had since 2013. And so I think that that alone should be supportive to a few of these markets, especially like the Kansas City market, which I think has probably got the most tenuous crop situation at the moment. I mentioned the soft red crop, in at least in Illinois and places I've seen in the east, looks pretty good right now. But I know that we've got some concerns about the hard red winter wheat crop. So if we've got the chance to hedge $6 plus wheat like we do in Chicago right now in July, I like locking some of that in. And if you can double crop beans on top of that, we've got some tremendous potential scenario profitability scenarios there. In areas where it's, you know, the crop's a little tougher, you know, if I were going to be a hedger, I'd probably own a call option just in case this market continued to work on up. Keep in mind both of those winter wheat prices well above the crop insurance prices, which is usually one of the targets that we've got in a marketing perspective is to, can we enhance our crop insurance price? Can we sell above that level? And right now, both Kansas City and Chicago markets are well above it. Minneapolis market, I'm still kind of curious to see what happens with acres this spring. I would think that corn and bean acres relative to spring wheat ought to be very favorable. And so I think that we would drop spring wheat acreage planting back. So we'll see if that happens this spring. So maybe I'm not real aggressive in the Minneapolis September market at this point. You know, if you get up to $6.50 to $7, then I'd get a little more interested. We closed at $6.31 on Friday night. Probably going to sit on the sidelines here for the moment in that market. But world numbers continue to get bigger, and that's the flip side of this thing. Even though the U.S. stock number, the tightest maybe in 8 or 9 years, world numbers continue to get bigger. So not you know, anything of a real big concern. I would think that that would limit U.S. exports as we go forward. Finally, in cotton, the average trade estimate was 11.9 million acres, which is just down about 100,000 acres from this past year. I don't know if we can get to 11.9, I guess. That's the question I've got, especially as the market has broken back here lately. I think this rally we had seen over the winter was probably doing some work to keep some acres into cotton. But as dry as it is in some parts, especially in the south, southwest, I don't know if we'll plant 11.9 million acres. I'm still leaning more towards 11.5 in my balance sheet. But even at 11.9, our stocks, if we use a pretty aggressive yield and a pretty aggressive harvested acreage number, stocks would still fall nearly a million bales in the year ahead. And so I don't know it, you know, at the current levels where we closed on Friday night in Dease Cotton, if I would want to be a very aggressive seller. We're at 78 cents. I think I'd sit on the sideline right now. You get up into 85 to 90 cent area, maybe start to get a little more interested again. But, you know, I think that this market warrants prices with an 8 at least in front of it, and we're not seeing that today. And so with some weather concerns going into spring, I would wait on a rally. I think that we could see some better markets in cotton as we go forward into spring and early summer. Try to buy some acres here at the last minute. We've seen that in past years. Typically, the April-May slot tends to be one of our better marketing opportunities. So we'll see if that market does rebound. If it doesn't, you know, then I don't think acres are going to be there, and I think that that warrants better prices on down the road. So that's my 2 cents. The technical indicators as we go into this report all show markets pretty neutral right now. We've dropped the RSIs on the corn, beans down into the low 50s, upper 40s, wheat, in fact, dropping down into the 30s and even up into the upper 20s. Cotton as well has moved into oversold right now. So nothing I would really want to do in the cotton market to defend ahead of the report. Wheat, probably not there either. Corn and beans look fairly neutral as well. So the only thing that scares me a little bit is the fund long position in the corn and the bean markets. They've whittled away some of their cotton length in the last few days, so that doesn't scare me too much. But the corn position probably does a little bit. So while the technical indicators show a neutral market, the fund length right now is probably the thing that makes me most nervous in the corn market. So we'll see what happens with the acres. But if you need to protect price, I still like the minimum price contracts. I like the December $6 call option on corn. Probably go out to $15 November bean calls, maybe even $16 if you don't want to spend that much money, if you want some upside protection. I'm not scared of a big sell-off at this point, so you may see a 1 or 2 day sell-off in some of these markets if it was a bearish report. I think that's about it. The 50-day moving averages in corn and soybeans were probed up against here this week, and so those are our first level of defense if this market trades a little lower. Cotton and wheat have broken through their 50-day moving average. In fact, the 100-day moving averages even. So you've really got to look out at the 200-day moving averages on the chart there. And I'll try to update all of the charts here on Monday so you can get a good look at the technicals. You can get a good look at the where the lines of support are at in each of these markets as we head into the report, just in case we were to see some downside in the market. Where would the support be? And so if you're using sell stops right now, if you've got cash ownership and you're looking at, trying to ride this thing out, ride the rally out, but you want to have a level of get out just in case, maybe you look at some sell stops down below some of these key moving averages. So we'll look at that and we'll kind of point those out on the charts here Monday in the market report ahead of Wednesday's big report day. So for those of you that get my daily opening bell phone call on Wednesday when we have the report, I'll wait and make that right after 11 o'clock. When we get the numbers out, I'll put the blast out, give you the report numbers, give you the reaction to the market. All of that will be shared in that report shortly after the report comes out on Wednesday. So a lot going on this week, a lot of excitement. Certainly we would expect some volatility following the report on Wednesday. Question is, which way will we go? So with that, I certainly thank everyone for joining and listening in on this, my Kicking Up Dust podcast. Hope we have a great spring, and we'll look at visiting with you soon. And take care. We'll talk to you soon.